I think it started when both Idaho Power and Rocky Mountain Power both saw the need for more transmission in their system. The last time we did updates for both companies was late 70s, early 80s. And we built for the future then, and now it's 30 years later. Neither company had really had a major expansion in the transmission system. So the two companies partnered together and laid it out, and we've gone from there.
Why do we need this project? Can't I just turn off my lights more often and have plenty of electricity left over? Do we really need more lines?
Well, you know, the conservation efforts have reduced the overall demand, but the power company has to build their system for peak load times. So it's not for an average load or for every day or, you know, Idaho Power is a summer peaking utility. So when irrigation coincides with air conditioning load, we have to meet that peak demand. I haven't seen anyone raise their hand and volunteer and say, you know, don't build this project. Go ahead and shut off my town, you know, while you ride it out.
How much is this going to cost? And is my power bill going to go up because you're building Gateway West?
The 500 kV sections will cost, ballpark estimate, $2 million a mile. And like any project that either Rocky Mountain Power or Idaho Power does, it's a capital project. When we go in for a rate case, we include capital projects in our rate case. So yes, our customers will be paying for Gateway West as they pay for any of our capital projects.
What sort of obstacles have you had to overcome in the last 4 years to get to this point?
When we originally sited the routes for Gateway West, we look at opportunities and constraints. So that is, we look at places where perhaps a power line would be acceptable, and other places where it would either be prohibited or difficult to put it. And we came up with our best guess at routes, and then we put those out before the public. And man, did the public really let us know what they thought on those routes. So that's where we're at now, that the BLM has written the draft environmental impact statement. And when you read through that, it goes through all the opportunities, constraints, what they're seeing from the environmental side, and then the public's filling in with what they think of all the routes. For the most part, the public's been really good about seeing the need for the project. So it's not really, do we need it or do we not need it? The question is, where's the best place for the route?
What about visual? Are people worried about how this is going to look when they look out their window and they see this?
No one wants to look at a power line, as we're finding out, or I guess as we already knew. A comment I frequently make at meetings is, I have yet to have anyone come forward, raise their hand and say, yeah, put it in my backyard. You know, it's needed infrastructure, but no one wants to look at it, so we're dealing with that. From the public agency side, BLM Forest Service, they have a lot of their land is classified into a visual category. So they have concerns with the visuals as well, whether it's to wild and scenic rivers or historic trails like the Oregon Trail or California Trail. They're worried about visual impacts to those areas as well.
And what is this going to look like? I think people hear power line, and I know the vision I get is a single power pole, usually made out of wood, with a couple of lines coming off it. This is much bigger than that.
These will be lattice steel towers. They'll be galvanized steel. Most people, if you think of a Erector set or Tinker Toys, that's kind of the effect it is. It's made up of many members. They'll be probably on the average between 140 and 180 feet tall.
You mentioned nobody stood up and said, I want you to build it in my backyard. What happens if you need to go through somebody's backyard, say on private property, and the owner says no? What happens?
Every landowner will be different. It'll be a private negotiation with every landowner. There will be people that absolutely don't want it. Our hope is, and we've seen this already, is that in many areas, the groups of people have come together, organized. Again, no one particularly wants it, but there are some people that can live with it if they can have a say on where it goes. So that, I guess that's best case scenario, is we work with areas, you know, to find a route through. If we have a route through, and let's say a very large area, like a whole, you know, whole drainage area of private property, you know, stands up and says, we don't want the line here, then we do have the right of condemnation, although we don't like to use it, and we haven't used it in quite a while, I believe over 20 years. We'd rather work it out with the people and find a mutually acceptable solution to the line route.